time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American. We do know for a fact that she has been out there. We do not know what she has discovered as far as what's going on. So the floor is yours. Hi, Ruth.
Good morning. Okay. We did miss last week, so I just want to recap a bit about Memorial Day. There was some really, despite the rain, there were some really interesting events. And the first was the unveiling of the new Doughboy in Canaan. It's been totally revamped. That's the statue that was put up in 1928 after World War One, the Curtis family, Hugh Curtis family, heeded the call when it was heard that the statue was in bad shape, and they donated all the money towards restoring it. Carl Munson, a stone worker from Falls Village, very talented stone maker, came in and redid the whole thing. And so it was the site of the Memorial Day parade on last Monday, and it's beautiful. For those who are going through Canaan, you ought to take stop and see it, and as well as the plaques behind it naming all the veterans who have served from Canaan, and they made a few corrections even because some names had been left off or misspelled. So that was a nice event, as well as Falls Village, in which they honored people for community service and volunteerism. And again, although it had to be put indoors, it didn't lose any of its luster.
Did they name it volunteerism?
No. It's okay. Called Volunteer of the Year, which went to Bill Beebe, the longtime custodian at Lee H. Kellogg School. He was beloved. He's retired now, but everybody knew Mr. Beebe. And he's a fireman, and he's a curator at the Beebe Hill Schoolhouse and deep roots in the town. And the Community Service Award went to Kay and Terry Blass for all the work that they do. Kay is active in the library. They're both active in the Falls Village Church. And all the towns, of course, have these wonderful events, but I just thought we'd highlight those two. Okay, so onward to this week. Last night there was a public hearing at in Salisbury, and this is for the Grove Street School project. The Housing Trust is proposing to build two affordable houses on Grove Street property, and that street is right across from the White Hart off under Mountain Road. The town owns the land, so it would be transferred to the trust if this is passed. First, as I say, it goes to planning and zoning. It went to planning and zoning and for site plan approval, and then it will go to a town meeting to vote to transfer the land. However, I met with several of the neighbors who are quite upset and very opposed to this project, saying it's just the wrong place. It's a small piece of property. It's going to take away from their privacy. It's going to cause noise. It's going to cause increased traffic. It's a small lot, and they feel they just their voices haven't been heard. As with all projects, we know there are always pros and cons, and people for and people against.
I'm trying to figure out, and excuse my ignorance, can you, all right, so it's by the White Hart. Is it near the cemetery, or is it on the other side?
Other side.
Okay.
If you're going to, you turn towards Sheffield, going up Under Mountain.
Right.
And it's right across from, it's just right there on the left-hand side, just a couple of houses up.
Huh.
It was, there was a school there at one time. It's called the Grove Street School property. And then it was a park, and the swing set is still there. And the proposal is to keep that swing set, keep it as a little park back there, put these two houses there. It's currently been used for in the front for parking for mostly White Hart employees. But I learned from John Harney, who is president of the trust, that White Hart is thinking of reconfiguring and getting more parking on its property, so that would alleviate that problem. But it's a heated issue, as with any affordable housing project, so stay tuned.
Does this require a special permit, do you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mike, you know more about Salisbury. The only reason I'm questioning it is I'm literally trying to picture it. Does the property extend into the back more up behind? I'm just trying to visualize it. I mean, I can see it as a very small school, but I don't know how close those houses are going to be.
It's just about an acre of land.
Okay.
And if you go, as I say, towards, you know, where the road splits off.
Right, 41.
You go up, it's virtually across the road from the White Hart,
yeah.
The parking lot there. So it's if you can take a walk and walk the property and see. But okay. These people, the neighbors, as I said, are very upset, and we'll see what happens. Here in Kent, we have some questions. We have a historic house called the Swift House. There's a group, a task force, that's been working to get some money towards fixing it up. There was an assessment done. This is on Route 341, just in the center of town. If you're familiar with Kent, as you're going towards Warren, you make a turn at the light in Kent onto 341, and it's just on the right past the Patco store. There's been some, I would say, differences of opinion on this, whether to preserve it, whether to put money into it. They had they finally hired an engineering company. The engineering company said everything that needs to be done. Basically, the basic problem is it's not ADA, doesn't have meet their ADA standards. The engineering company came up with a figure to do everything at $1.8 million, which has some people spinning, saying, you know, no, we're not going to do it. It's been used infrequently for little gatherings, little parties. And at a meeting of the selectmen recently, Zan Charity, who heads up this task force, said, you know, it might be good for offices, it might be good for just alleviating some of crowding elsewhere. But First Selectman Martin Lindenmeyer said no, he doesn't think that's, you know, if they're going to add on to offices, it should be at Town Hall. Lynn Worthington and Glenn Sanchez, the other two selectmen, feel it should be at least pursued. So, again, we'll be following that because there's a definite difference of opinion. We had two hearings this past week on town budgets. Both passed. It's finally, the budget season is over, but it's really a tale of two cities. In Canaan, they had a town meeting. It lasted 2 minutes. They approved the budget and set the mill rate, and it's going down a little bit. In Falls Village, it was an hour and a half meeting at least, in which they debated the mill rate and how to whether to take money out of reserves, and they're finding they really are struggling because there's a big gap. Apparently, last year they reduced it by 4.7 mils, so now they're really in a bind and needing to cover expenses. So they have decided to take $150,000 out of the general fund to help alleviate the tax burden, but taxes, the mill rate still went up one from 21 to 22, and it will still mean a tax increase for folks.
And I said this last time, you know, it's all totally understandable, but, you know, the people who actually have to pay the taxes are pretty, they notice it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
That's, you know, the whole trickle down, the whole, like, hey, we all need it, and da 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 da. We're kind of getting down to, as they say, seeds and stems here.
Well, you know, it's such a balancing act because people don't, and rightly so, I mean, they don't want to increase their taxes, but towns have to operate, and you
need
to provide services.
And I just weigh in here as a Falls Village resident whose taxes are notoriously high.
Yeah, well, you have no...
So it's just one of those things. I understand.
You have no business to help offset it. Yeah.
Right, but all I'm saying is, as someone who pays high taxes, and you appreciate that, I'm still noticing. I'm noticing as things go up that, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, so I'm sure that there are other people that, you know, that feel it, irrespective of the what they might or might not have,
mm-hmm.
and who understand perfectly the balancing act that has to occur.
Yeah.
But so all I'm saying is, you know, this is now I'm moving on to a just very general statement. And, you know, there is an assumption that the people who can, you know, they'll understand and they'll be able to pay more. And I am just saying, you know, that's not always the case. There's everyone's got a threshold.
And people realize that. I mean, there was plenty of discussion about that and how much to take out of the reserves to help. But,
and the good news is,
you know, again, it's your roads, your bridges, your everything needs attention. The buildings, staffing, it's just schools. It's tough. Yeah.
How much of an impact does this have on their reserves? Does this take out, you know, half of it?
Well, that's another interesting question, Mike. The standard, there's being told, the standard is to keep 12.5% of your operating budget mm-hmm. in reserves. or 10 to 15%, I guess, is the standard, and they voted to keep it at 12.5. So they had something like 900 and something. So it's going to go down to like 700,000.
Okay, so they're maintaining a fair balance. It's important, you know, because some communities in various places these days, because of inflation, everything else that's affecting, and they don't want to raise taxes.
And they've got $7 left.
Are draining these reserves, and that is not a good idea.
Not a good idea, because as we know, you know, like in Cornwall with emergency landslides, and you just never know.
Exactly.
But that's a good question. And they did go round and round on that question, and they had voted previously to keep it at 12.5, so they did do that. But and some towns, I mean, I must say, Kent has a very hefty reserve, and Salisbury and others not so much. But that's an important point. And they did discuss that quite at length at that meeting Saturday. And that was a Saturday morning meeting, by the way, in Falls Village.
And people turned up, yes?
Yeah, not as many probably if it had been on an evening. Okay, turning to Salisbury, the ski jumps. The SWASA is talking about money. They need a new jump, and they're working to raise money. It's a campaign. They need $425,000 to redo one of their jumps. And so there is a campaign out. And if it's like anything in the past, they've been able to raise the money quite well. They feel that this is important. The ski jumps are an important part of Salisbury, and it is. These are places where kids really, you know, start their Olympic lives there. So it's pretty deteriorated, the one that's there, and they feel this is important to replace. So it'll be interesting to see. They're hoping to raise the money and be able to have it in place by next winter. Okay, we have Mudge Pond in Sharon. They're trying to. It was studied by somebody who does that sort of thing, and found to be aging and in need of repair or study. And so they filed for a DEEP grant, did not get it, So the town now has to figure out what to do. They certainly want to keep it, healthy, as do all towns with their lakes and ponds. So there'll be probably there again a private campaign to raise funds for that project. We had raptors and Riesling at the Audubon this past two weekends ago, which is always a fun event. Not just socializing with cocktails, but they always free some birds. And this year they had five little birds, three finches, one mourning dove, and one kingbird. And they all, it's just amazing. People gather around to watch them. They've been injured or sick and rehabilitated there at the center. And to watch them fly off into the horizon is just very, very touching. Stan McMillan, longtime fire marshal in all these towns, is stepping down from Kent and from Warren. He will remain as deputy, but there will be some new new fire marshal in those towns. He is going to remain in Sharon, Falls Village, and Cornwall, but I have a feeling, you know, he's stepping back. And we had a big celebration for our grocery store that turned 50 years old on Sunday. There was a big party for Davis IGA, a huge, huge turnout. Charlie Davis started that store 50 years ago with his wife. His son took it over. He just retired, and now somebody else's, Greg Eads, has taken it over. So the town really, not just the town, the whole area came out to celebrate. It was quite an event.
Well, that's a single unit, isn't it? It has no other stores?
Right. Yep,
and that's correct. Amazing that that still exists today.
Yep, yep. It's a private-run place, and it's he paid tribute to all his employees for all the years they put in, very loyal. Yeah, I mean, Mike, if you look at Millerton, no grocery store.
Yeah.
Dover,
right.
No grocery store.
No, it's hard as a loner these days for distribution and all of the other things that have to happen for a supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this is really something to be, you know, proud of.
Yeah.
That you have a single store in a town that's managing to hold its own. The town obviously is still patronizing it,
yeah,
which is good.
Of course it will.
Because, you know, so many times people will say, well, I can drive to the big box 20 miles away and say,
yep,
blah, blah, blah.
Not for milk.
So they've done a really great job to keep that single unit running.
They have. People are very supportive, and they're very, very good to the town. They support many of the activities.
Speaking of that wonderful quid pro, you know, quote, I can say this, quid pro quo, they support, people support. You know, it works beautifully if you do it right.
Right, yeah. It's you're absolutely right.
Well, we've got the fart. You said Greg Eads is taking it over?
Yeah.
Oh, good show.
You know Greg?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. He's the new guy.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job.
He'll do well, yeah.
We had a library reveal last week, a big party to show in Kent what the new library is going to be. That's a whole new project. They've raised $6 million and hopefully need a little bit more, and if you can see the renderings, it's quite the thing. We have a cute little library, but, you know, it needs to come up into the 21st century. So that was a fun party, and we'll see. Hopefully they'll reach the goal. Okay, looking ahead, we have this Wednesday, there's a senior regional lunch at the Grove. Every senior in the area, the six towns, is invited. It's free lunch. Park and Rec people put it on. I would encourage people to come. It's great socialization, great food. They had it in the past, then it sort of stopped during COVID, and it's being reinvigorated. So that's noon at the Grove. Hazardous Waste Day is Saturday, 9 to noon at the Falls Village Public Works Department. There again, you need to go to your town halls to get a ticket. It's free, but you got to have a ticket. There are, I think, 12 towns involved.
21.
No, nope. Some of the towns are. It's not all COG. It's only part of COG.
Yeah.
So, people are encouraged to come and bring their hazardous waste, you know, paint and whatever else is, you know, all that poisons you may have around the house. Also next weekend is the Great Mutt Show. That's the little guild. They put on this show. You bring your dog, and they do all kinds of activities and tricks and acts, and that's at Lime Rock on Sunday. FFA alumni holding its chicken barbecue also on Sunday at the high school. A really good meal, and you're supporting the FFA alumni. New Vance is holding a community update via Zoom on June 12th. You can hear the latest about Sharon Hospital. That's 5 p.m. And we have all kinds of selectmen's and Board of Education's meetings this week because it's the first week of the month. So lots going on.
That's your tagline, lots going on. And my tagline is thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ruth Epstein, for keeping us, A, apprised of what's going on, and, B, for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth.
You're welcome.
On Robinhood Radio.